The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January only costs $7.99. It's titled, Five Things You Can Do to Witness Christ. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Five Things You Can Do to Witness Christ by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, equipping you to witness Christ on the front lines. Five Things You Can Do to Witness Christ.
Once again, it seems like I have to say this every year. I keep looking at the U.S. Supreme Court as the force that really drives America, like it or not.
The church growth movement is paganism in Christian guise.
Our opinions do not rise to the level of Christian doctrine, so our theological speculations have no bearing on what God has revealed in His Word and what the faith once delivered to the saints is.
The way that you know that God loves you is not by your living or your feeling or your thinking or your whatevering. It's by the death of Jesus.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
Well, be honest. When you think about Christian witness, you don't usually think first. If you're thinking in terms of confessions of faith or denominations, you don't usually think first of Lutheran, do you? You think of, say, Baptists or evangelicals, kind of broadly speaking. They're the ones who are out there really on the forefront, really enthusiastically engaging. They're the ones, if you're really honest, you might even think they're the ones with a theology that's better suited to Christian witness. Is that true? Does the Lutheran confession, does Lutheran theology have anything to contribute to Christian witness? Is something distinctive of Lutheran theology actually necessary for a true Christian witness? We're going to talk about that here in part three of our series on witnessing Christ today. We'll talk about justification by faith and the sacraments. Dr. John Sias will join us. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Thursday afternoon. It's the 16th of January from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Pastor Michael Schuerman will join us. We're going to talk about the funding of pro-choice organizations by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, and we'll get his thoughts on that because he has actually been doing some very serious research into that issue. And then we'll also talk about the certainty of absolution. How do you know when your pastor says to you, I forgive you all your sins, that your sins are really forgiven, that this is Christ's forgiveness? Dr. Andrew Steinman joins us after that. The Old Testament laws, boy, they have a lot to say, don't they? And if you stop and look at it, how little of them survive into the New Testament? Why? Why are many Old Testament laws considered inapplicable to New Testament Christians, but some are? How do you decide? We'll answer that question with Dr. Andrew Steinman of Concordia University of Chicago. Then Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us. He joins us every week as we delve into Christ in the Old Testament. We'll be in Isaiah chapter 49, the servant of the Lord. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours of Issues Etc. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. We have an in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet at @IssuesETC. Dr. John Sias is a regular guest. He's pastor of Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Colstrip, Montana, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Five Things You Can Do to Witness Christ. John, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me again.
Lutheran is not the first name or label that comes to mind when people think about Christian witness, but does Lutheran theology have something essential, really, to contribute to a genuine biblical Christian witness of Christ?
Well, I think even Lutherans have been known to look over the fence to another denomination when looking for witnessing materials, witnessing advice. I suppose because they feel that our theology is rather countercultural, that it might not provide what the typical American on the street thinks he's looking for. But when we look a little bit further into the New Testament and into the Lutheran confessions, what we find is that Lutheran theology goes right to the very heart of the ways that God has provided to make and to sustain Christians by trust in his very specific promises. justification by faith apart from works, a consistent emphasis of Paul and of Jesus and of the Gospels, and also the work of the sacraments, that there can be places in this world where God is acting, and people can be sure of it. And I think that certainty certainly ought to be something that we can talk about in our witness to Jesus.
Now, sometimes we hear the term Lutheran distinctives. You even use it in the course of your writing. And I want to be clearly understood here. We're not talking about kind of how Lutherans have over time decided to distinguish themselves from, brand themselves from, as distinct from other Christians. When we say Lutheran distinctives, aren't we really making a much bolder statement? Aren't we actually saying, this is what every Christian ought to believe? Many don't, but this is what the Bible teaches and what every Christian ought to believe.
It, we are indeed. You know, when a pastor is ordained, when I was ordained, it was not simply to be part of the Lutheran brand, but into the one holy Catholic or Christian Apostolic Church. And our Lutheran confessions nowhere claim to be setting up a brand or promoting brand loyalty or creating some kind of special sauce, but instead to be preserving the pure prophetic and apostolic doctrine as taken from the Scriptures.
And there is actually a very strong emphasis on bearing witness, or I guess you might even call it giving testimony, in Lutheran history, isn't there? I mean, the very Lutheran confessions themselves are presented, are testified to before kings and princes, and even in the case of some of those documents, emperors themselves.
Of course, yeah. The confessors at Augsburg were called on the carpet, so to say, to justify from the Word of God, from consistency with the apostolic doctrine, the tradition of the Church, what it is that they were teaching. And so that was their chief concern and remains so today, that we confess clearly and don't simply dilute to the lowest common denominator, but confess clearly and precisely everything that Christ has given us through the apostles.
How, before we get into those distinctives, how would you respond, Dr. Sias, to someone, and this is a pretty popular idea, even if it's not always admitted to by those who hold it, that to really be effective witnesses, our Lutheran theology is going to get in our way doing that. And so you do find a lot of congregations and pastors who view Lutheran theology as a hindrance to Christian witness, be it congregational or individual.
I would suspect that Jesus' disciples probably thought the same thing about some of the things Jesus was teaching. The message that Christ brings and the way that he brings it and what he teaches about the human nature, the mystery of our sinfulness, and the mystery of his redemption, the means by which he means to give it, these are not things that resonate with what is naturally within us. Nonetheless, these are the tools through which the Holy Spirit works. God has told us so. And as Lutherans, we believe that and identify with that. And shouldn't try to forget about those things or sweep them under the rug when it comes time to make more Christians, to give the Holy Spirit opportunity through our speaking to do that.
You say we need to first talk about the very core of Christian theology, of the Christian witness. How would you describe it?
Well, I think, you know, when folks would think about what makes Lutherans different from others, the obvious things might not be the most fundamental things to our confession. They might think of a difference in what the worship service looks like or how it's conducted, what our churches look like, whether we baptize infants or so on. And those things are important. But the heart of the Lutheran confession, what the confessors call the article on which the church stands or falls, is the notion, the biblical notion, that we are justified by faith in Christ Jesus, in his merits, in his substitution for us, his atonement, apart from the works of the law, entirely apart from our worked righteousness, our active righteousness, but simply by what he has done for us and imputed to us. And that's by no means to be assumed, that doctrine of justification by faith, even among people that consider themselves Christians.
With the doctrine of justification at the center, does that help us remain focused when, let's just say in the case of an individual bearing witness to Christ, focused on what this is really all about, rather than be sidetracked by a lot of the things that, while they are extremely important and related to the doctrine of justification by grace through faith alone, may not be the best place to begin or even the best place to venture in individual witness?
Absolutely, it does. Justification by faith in Christ Jesus is kind of the hub into which other things are put. Along, of course, with the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, which can't be dispensed with. But justification is central, and it also it tweaks. I won't say it resonates with it. It tweaks something that's there in all of our lives, in the lives of and mind of every human being. Justification isn't an abstract theological concept. It's not a difficult thing. I think every human being from very early age is quite familiar with the idea of justifying oneself for good or bad, and so it touches us to the core of our being. We are beings who know we need to be justified, and usually, according to our nature, seek that in the worst possible ways.
We'll talk about some of that on the other side of the break. Dr. John Sias is our guest, pastor at Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Colstrip, Montana, and author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for January, Five Things You Can Do to Witness Christ. It's part three of our series with him on witnessing Christ today, justification by grace through faith and the sacraments. Stay tuned.
Not guilty of being on your street, getting underneath your feet.
You know you want to be there. A pile of pastors, a mountain of musicians, a boatload of laity, all passionate about worship, gathered together on the beautiful campus of Concordia University, Nebraska, this coming July, the 28th through the 31st. Comfort, comfort ye my people, preaching, praying, and singing the comfort of Christ to the troubled conscience and the broken heart. John Kleinick, Paul Solek, Betsy Werner, Brian Wolfmiller, Robin Lever, and the stash himself, President Matthew Harrison. Oh yeah, and two other guys named Wilkin and Whedon, along with a whole pile of your favorite Issues, Etc. guests. Did I mention that the registration cost starts at just $175? Or that full-time students, including seminarians and deaconess students, pay just $25 registration? Yeah, seriously. I told you, you want to be there. For more information, click the link, Comfort Comfort, on the Issues, Etc. homepage, issuesetc.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Resurrection Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. Bethlehem Lutheran, Parma, Ohio. St. Paul's Lutheran, Lockport, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Arnold, Missouri. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Cedar Falls, Iowa. Zion Lutheran, Moberly, Missouri, and Elm Grove Lutheran, Elm Grove, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, talking about justification by grace through faith and the sacraments as part of our series with Dr. John Sias on witnessing Christ. He's author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for January, Five Things You Can Do to Witness Christ. This is one of those books that sounds from its title like it might be a how-to witness book, and it is in some sense, but it really is a clarification of what true Christian witness actually is and how you are one, whether or not you realize it or not, to receive from Christ those things that he has given sinners for the forgiveness of sins is to witness what Christ is doing even today through that word and sacraments in his church. And that is precisely the content of our Christian witness. You can find out more by ordering a copy of Five Things You Can Do to Witness Christ from Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for January at our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Dr. Seiss, you said before the break that often people are seeking justification before God in all sorts of wrong places. Give us some examples.
Yeah, well, whether or not God comes into the picture for folks, we can all think of the things that we might have said or kids say when they're caught with the hands in the cookie jar or vases broken in the living room. It's always somebody else's fault. There's always some fantastical explanation for it. Our culture today, I think, has taken that to the extreme. We simply live in a time when no one wants to take the risk of being wrong. No one accepts the idea that they might be at the same time wrong or in the wrong and loved. It seems we have such an essential need to be declared right. Look at the fight over homosexual marriage. You know, what difference does it make what title is put on the thing if you know it's right? And yet our country is being pressured to accept this title, to give it every possible whiff of legitimacy. So there are all kinds of examples of how we live and try to put up that facade of rightness, build up excuses of rightness, without coming before God to see his holy standard and to admit that we're wrong and to look for the righteousness that's not a sham, that's not a fraud, but that's given to us in Christ Jesus.
Now, some might object that to present, and I think this often does curtail Christian witness in a lot of cases, they view Christianity as, well, yes, it is about the forgiveness of sins, but then it's also, and maybe even more importantly, about some sort of a transformed life. And so they don't want the first part to mitigate the second part. They fear that if they make grace sound too free, justification too kind of absolute, forgiveness too absolutely free, then they might encourage people to misbehave.
This is the fear that has always accompanied the preaching of the gospel. Jesus, of course, faced this. He forgives the paralytic, and they say, well, who can forgive sins on earth? But God alone, or who can forgive sins but God alone? They're offended that Jesus is here proclaiming the forgiveness of sins on this man before we've seen how his life has turned out, before we've seen if he's made good on his mistakes. This is always the offense that accompanies the gospel. But in sidestepping that, trying to make Christianity more about a changed life and less about the forgiveness of sins, we actually lose the thread of what the Christian faith is. If our goal is to need less and less Jesus, rather than to need more and more Jesus, we have something very wrong. And so this gets to the distinction of law and gospel. Which one can save us, telling us how we ought to live, or telling us what Christ has in fact done for us to give us the forgiveness of sins and eternal salvation? It gets to justification by faith. Is the Christian proclamation about presenting to faith a Christ crucified that he may be believed? Or is it about building up some scheme of works by which we can be improved? These are two very incompatible alternatives that somehow get all mashed up in our religious sensibilities.
The 16th century Lutheran confessions have no sooner confessed this free salvation, this free justification by God's grace through faith alone for the sake of Christ. Then they go on to confess the means by which that faith is delivered. Why is that connection so very important even today?
Well, there's, you know, when, as soon as you say we are justified by faith, we are saved by faith, then the question becomes, well, how do I know I have faith? And we can either say, well, of course I have faith, or we might say, boy, I really don't look inside and see much going on there. Faith is not something that is in itself. Faith is not something that remains inside us, something that looks at itself and sees how it is doing. But faith grasps external things from God that it can trust, the external word and the sacraments. And the confessors understand this and so see when our Lord desires to save us by faith, that he gives us the ministry of means, the ministry of things in which we can trust, through which the forgiveness of sins is given, which we can very concretely say have been done to and for us, so that we have something near at hand to be believed.
What are those means? Talk about them in particular and how each of them, in their particular way, as instituted by Christ, is part and parcel of both Christian witness and then what follows, which would be the Christian living out the Christian life.
Well, Luther moves in his catechism from the first three chief parts, the Ten Commandments, the law, the creed, the gospel, the Lord's Prayer, which we'll talk about, Lord willing, a little bit next time, a description of the Christian life under law and gospel, I would say 2.5 sacraments, baptism, the fourth part, the Lord's Supper, the sixth part, and in between confession and absolution, whether we want to call that a sacrament or not, I would. But all three of these things have Christ's institution and are for the forgiveness of sins. Baptism, of course, very fundamentally at the end of Matthew, he says, go and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all I've commanded you. Baptism, therefore, for the forgiveness of sins. The confession and absolution, of course, John 20, Jesus says, receive you the Holy Spirit, talking to his apostles, to his pastors. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And then the Lord's Supper, of course, this is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the remission of sins. This do in remembrance of me. And so these three wonderful means, which are more tangible and more personal to us than simply the spoken word of the gospel, which has its own power, which come to forgive our sins. And of course, these, you know, provide something for our faith to hang on to. We are justified by the faith that receives the forgiveness of sins through these. But also, as Luther reminds us in his beautiful after communion collect, strengthen us through this in faith toward you, but also we pray in fervent love toward one another. The sacraments give us a confidence in God, in the forgiveness of sins, which then are the foundation of our reaching out to others in confidence in God, of venturing love toward them. So these are, for Lutherans and hopefully for all Christians, a very central part, a very fundamental part of their Christian life and the way they look at life and at one another.
And they are all, from beginning to end, what God does and not what we do?
Absolutely. It's a critical distinction, especially in our American context where, you know, those that see baptism as a work of God, those that see the pastors pronouncing absolution as actually forgiving sins as by God himself, those that see the Lord's Supper as being Christ there giving his actual real body and blood, are a minority on the American scene. These things are typically seen as things people enact to be signs or symbols of some other internal thing, of faith doing its thing inside them, which really gets the cart before the horse.
And what is the assurance there when we bear witness to these things, when we say, this is what God did for me in baptism, this is what Jesus gives me in the Lord's Supper? What is the assurance and the certainty there?
Well, we're quite familiar with what happens with the decisions we make, with the promises we make. They end badly. They get broken. Even the ones we care the most about, we are unable to secure the effects we desired when we entered into them. Look at the brokenness of marriage. Where people make good intention vows every day and things don't end well. Sadly, in many cases. It's another place where Christ needs to be in the forgiveness of sins, of course. But the point being, if these things are simply signs of our decisions, our commitments, we can never really be sure that they took. Whereas what God does sticks. He, by his almighty power, can say things and they happen. He who spoke the world into existence out of nothing can certainly, in baptism, claim us for himself and wash our sins away, give us his body and blood and forgive our sins, strengthen our faith, and so on. So it's a difference of certainty there that it's God who does these things, not us.
Dr. John Sias is pastor of Mount Calvary Lutheran Church in Colstrip, Montana. He's author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for January, Five Things You Can Do to Witness Christ. Next time, we're going to be talking with him about witnessing Christ in life. Dr. Sias, thanks for being our guest.
My pleasure.
When we come back on this Thursday afternoon, the 16th of January, we're going to spend the next half hour talking about two things. First of all, an ongoing story about the funding of pro-choice organizations by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, an organization, a fraternal financial organization that claims to be faith-based and family-valued, has been, through various means, allowing funding to go to both Planned Parenthood and NARAL, Pro-Choice America. We'll get an update on that story, and then we'll talk about the certainty of absolution. Pastor Michael Schuerman will be our guest, author of an article for the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled, "For My Forgiveness Is God's Forgiveness." We'll be right back.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for almost 6 years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, and thanks for your financial support. Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio for the world, Issues, Etc., and sacred music for the world, LutheranPublicRadio.org. We're looking forward to partnering with you in 2014.
If your travels bring you to Northwest Indiana, the Saints of Heritage Lutheran Church in Valparaiso invite you to join us for a Christ-centered, cross-focused divine service at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. For more information about visiting Heritage, please contact Pastor Joseph Ostafinski by calling 219-464-2810 or sending an email to heritagelc@frontier.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.heritage-lcms.org.
Are you concerned about weight gain during the holidays? Work out this winter at Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois. Arch Fitness offers adult boot camps on weekday evenings and on weekday and Saturday mornings. For more information, check out the Facebook fan page for Arch Fitness or call Kevin Reisick at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness is located at 127 West MacArthur Drive in Cottage Hills, Illinois. Win the war against winter weight. Arch Fitness of Cottage Hills, Illinois.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Join me for a Lenten preaching workshop Monday, January the 20th at Concordia Lutheran Church in Geneseo, Illinois. I'll be teaching on current problems in Lutheran preaching and biblical remedies for these problems. The registration fee is only $15 and includes lunch. For more information, contact Pastor Gary Wright at 309-236-3882. I'm looking forward to meeting you in Geneseo, Illinois on January the 20th. 309-236-3882.
For 20 years, we've lifted our voices and instruments to the hymns of Stephen Starkey. Now, CPH has the first ever CD collection of Pastor Starkey's works titled, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God. This 12-track CD includes nearly an hour of music from the most beloved Lutheran hymn writer of our time. Order now. Use promotion code URA. We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, is only $15.99. CPH.org.